Center, the country ridden on the sea, perched on the very tongue of Salaha, given that the Osho Canyon International, Puna, India, discourse number one.
Freedom from all mind tensions, from all mind games. Freedom from all tensions. Freedom from the others. Tantra is a space to be. Tantra is liberation. Tantra is not a religion in the ordinary sense. Religion again is a mind game. Religion gives you a certain pattern. A Christian has a certain pattern, so has the Hindu. So has the Muslim. A religion gives you a certain style, a discipline. Tantra takes all disciplines away. When there is no discipline, when there is no enforced order, a totally different kind of order arises in you. What Lao Tzu calls Tao, what Buddha calls Dhamma, that arises in you. That is not anything done by you. It happens to you. Tantra simply creates a space for it to happen. It does not even invite. It does not wait. It simply creates a space. And when the space is ready, the whole flows in. I have heard a very beautiful story, a very ancient one, in a province. No rain had fallen for a long time. Everything was dried up. At last the citizens decided to fetch the rainmaker. A deputation was sent to see him in the distant town where he lived, with the urgent request to come as soon as possible and make rain for their parched fields. The rainmaker, a wise old man, promised to do so on condition that he be provided with a solitary little cottage in the open country, where he could withdraw by himself for 3 days. no food or drink would be required. Then he would see what could be done. His requests were met. On the evening of the third day, abundant rain fell, and full of praise, a grateful crowd made a pilgrimage to his house and exclaimed, "How did you do it? Tell us." It was quite simple. The rainmaker answered, "For 3 days, all I have done is to put myself in order. For I know that once I am in order, then the world will be in order, and the drought must yield place to the rain." Tantra says, if you are in order, then the whole world is in order for you. When you are in harmony, then the whole existence is in harmony for you. When you are in disorder, then the whole world is disorder. And the order has not to be a false one. It has not to be a forced one. When you force some order upon yourself, you simply become a split. Deep down, the disorder continues. You can observe it. If you are an angry person, you can force your anger. You can repress it deep down in the unconscious. But it is not going to disappear. Maybe you become completely unaware of it, but it is there. And you know it is there. It is running underneath you. It is in the dark basement of your being, but it is there. On the top of it you can sit smiling, but you know it can erupt any moment. And your smile cannot be very deep. And your smile cannot be true. And your smile will be just an effort you will be making against yourself. A man who forces the order from the outside remains in disorder. Tantra says there is another kind of order. You don't impose any order. You don't impose any discipline. You simply drop all structures. You simply become natural and spontaneous. It is the greatest step a man can be asked to take. It will need great courage, because the society will not like it. The society will be deadly against it. The society wants a certain order. If you follow the society is happy with you. If you go a little bit here and there astray, the society is very angry. And the mob is mad. Tantra is a rebellion. I don't call it revolutionary, because it has no politics in it. And I don't call it revolutionary, because it has no plans to change the world. It has no plans to change the state and the society. It is rebellious. It is individual rebellion. It is one individual slipping out of the structures and the slavery. But the moment you slip out of the slavery, you come to feel another kind of existence around you, which you have never felt before, as if you were living with a blindfold. Suddenly the blindfold has become loose, and your eyes have become opened, and you can see a totally different world. This blindfold is what you call your mind. Your thinking, your prejudices, your knowledge, your scriptures, they all make a thick layer of a blindfold. they are keeping you blind. They are keeping you dull. They are keeping you unalive. Tantra wants you to be alive, alive as the trees, alive as the rivers, alive as the sun and the moon. That's your birthright. You don't gain anything by losing it. You lose all. And if everything is to be lost in gaining it, nothing is lost. Even a single moment of utter freedom is enough to satisfy. And a long life of 100 years, yoked like a slave, is meaningless. To be in the world of Tantra needs courage. It is adventurous. Only few people have been able up to now to move on that path. But the future is very hopeful. Tantra will become more and more important. Man is understanding more and more what slavery is. And man is understanding also that no political revolution has proved revolutionary. All political revolutions finally turn into anti-revolution. Once they are in power, they become anti-revolutionary. Power is anti-revolutionary. So there is a built-in mechanism in power. Give anybody power and he becomes anti-revolutionary. Power creates its own world. So up to now, there have been many revolutions in the world and all have failed, utterly failed. No revolution has helped. Now man is becoming aware of it. Tantra gives a different perspective. It is not revolutionary, it is rebellious. Rebellion means individual. You can rebel alone. You need not organize a party for it. You can rebel alone, on your own. It is not a fight against society, remember. It is just going beyond society. It is not antisocial, it is asocial. It has nothing to do with society. It is not against slavery, it is for freedom. Freedom to be. Just look at your life. Are you a free man? You are not. There are 1,001 bondages around you. You may not look at them. It is very embarrassing. You may not recognize them. It hurts. But it doesn't change the situation. You are a slave. To move into the dimension of Tantra, you will have to recognize your slavery. It is very deep-rooted. It has to be dropped. And being aware of it helps you to drop it. Don't go on pacifying yourself. Don't go on consoling yourself. Don't go on saying everything is okay. It is not. Nothing is okay. Your whole life is just a nightmare. Have a look at it. There is no poetry, and no song, and no dance, and no love, and no prayers. There is no celebration. Joy is just a word in the dictionary. Bliss, yes, you have heard about it. but you have not known anything about it. God in the temples, in the churches, yes, people talk about it. Those who talk, they don't know. Those who hear, they don't know. All that is beautiful seems to be meaningless, and all that is meaningless seems to be very, very important. A man goes on accumulating money and thinks that he is doing something very significant. Human stupidity is infinite. Beware of it. It will destroy your whole life. It has destroyed millions of people's life down the ages. Take hold of your awareness. That is the only possibility to get out of stupidity. Before we enter today's sutras, something has to be understood about tantra map of inner consciousness. Few things I have told about it to you, few more things have to be told. First, tantra says no man is just man and no woman is just woman. Each man is both man and woman, and so is each woman, woman and man. Adam has Eve in him and Eve has Adam in her. In fact, nobody is just Adam and nobody is just Eve. We are Adam Eves. This is one of the greatest insights ever attained. Modern depth psychology has become aware of it. They call it biosexuality. But for at least 5,000 years, Tantra has known it, preached it. It is one of the greatest discoveries of the world. Because with this understanding, you can move in your inner direction. Otherwise, you cannot move in your inner direction. Why a man falls in love with a woman? Because he carries a woman inside him. Otherwise, he will not fall in love. And why you fall in love with a certain woman? There are thousands of women. But why suddenly a certain woman becomes most important to you? As if all other women disappear. Only that is the only woman in the world. Why? Why a certain man attracts you? Why suddenly, at the first sight, something clicks? Tantra says you are carrying an image of a woman inside you, an image of a man inside you. Each man is carrying a woman, and each woman is carrying a man. When somebody in the outside fits with your inner image, you fall in love. That's the meaning of love. You don't understand it. You simply shrug shoulders, you say it happened. But there is a subtle mechanism in it. Why it happened with a certain woman? Why not with others? Your inner image fits somehow. The outer woman is similar in a way. Something just hits your inner image. You feel, this is my woman or this is my man. This feeling is what love is. But the outer woman is not going to satisfy. Because no outer woman is going to completely fit with your inner woman. The reality is not that way at all. Maybe she fits a little bit. There is an appeal, a magnetism, but it will be worn sooner or later. Soon you will recognize that there are 1001 things that you don't like in the woman. It will take a little time to come to know about those things. First you will be infatuated. First the similarity will be too much. It will overwhelm you. But by and by you will see that there are 1001 things, details of life that don't fit, that you are aligned, stranger. Yes, you are still lover, but the love has no more infatuator. That romantic vision is disappearing. And she will also recognize that something appeals in you, but your totality is not appealing. That's why each husband tries to change the wife and each wife tries to change the husband. What they are trying to do. Why? Why a wife continuously tries to change the husband? For what? She has fallen in love with this man, then immediately she starts changing this man. Now she has become aware of the dissimilarities. She wants to drop those dissimilarities. She wants to take few chunks off this man, so that he completely fits with her idea of a man. And the husband tries also, not so harsh, not so stubbornly as women try. Because the husband becomes tired very soon, the woman hopes longer. The woman thinks today or tomorrow, our day after tomorrow, someday I will change. It takes almost 20-25 years to recognize the fact that you cannot change the other. By the age 50, when the woman has passed her menopause, and the man too, when they are getting really old, then they become by and by alert that nothing has change. They have tried hard, they have tried every way. The woman remains the same and the man remains the same. Nobody can change anybody. This is a great experience to come to, a great understanding. That's why old people become more tolerant. They know that nothing can be done. That's why old people become more graceful. They know that things are as they are. That's why old people become more accepting. Young people are very angry, non-accepting. They want to change everything. They want to put the world the way they would like it. They struggle hard. But it has never happened. It cannot happen. It is not in the nature of things. The outer man can never fit with your inner man, and the outer woman can never be absolutely the same as your inner woman. That's why love gives pleasure and pain too. Love gives happiness and unhappiness too. And unhappiness is much more than happiness. What Tantra proposes about it? What has to be done then? Tantra says there is no way to be satisfied with the outer. You will have to move inwards. You will have to find your inner woman and inner man. You will have to attain to a sexual intercourse inside. That is a great contribution. How it can happen, try to understand this map. I talked about 7 chakras, the yoga tantra physiology. In man, the Muladhar is male and Swadhisthan female. In woman, the Muladhar is female and Swadhisthan male. and so on and so forth. In seven chakras, up to the sixth, the duality remains. The seventh is non-dual. There are three pairs inside you. Muladhar Swadhisthan have to got married. Manipura Anahata have to got married. Visuddha Agnya have to got married. When the energy moves outside, you meet a woman outside, you have a little glimpse for a moment, because the coercion with a woman outside cannot be permanent. It can be only momentary. For a single moment, you can lose yourself into each other. Again, you are thrown back to yourself, and thrown back with a vengeance. That's why after each lovemaking, there is a certain frustration. You have failed again. It didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen. Yes, you reached to a peak, but before you had even become aware of it, the decline, the fall began. Before the peak was achieved, the valley. Before you had met with the woman or with the man, and the separation. The divorce comes with marriage so fast that it is frustrating. All lovers are frustrated people. They hope much. They hope against their experience. They hope again and again. But nothing can be done. You cannot destroy the laws of reality. You have to understand those laws. Outer meeting can only be momentary. But inner meeting can become eternal. And the higher you move, the more eternal it can become. The first Muladhar in man is male. Even while making love to a woman outside, Tantra says, remember the inner. Make love to the woman outside, but remember the inner. Let your consciousness move inwards. Forget the outer woman completely. In the moment of orgasm, forget the woman or the man completely. You close your eyes and you be in, and let it be a meditation. When energy is stirred, don't miss this opportunity. That is the moment when you can have a contact, an inward journey. Ordinarily, it is difficult to look in. But in a love moment, some gap. You are not ordinary. In a love moment, you are at your maximum. When orgasm happens, your whole body energy is throbbing with dance. Each cell, each fiber dancing in a rhythm, in a harmony that you don't know in ordinary life. This is the moment. This moment of harmony, use it as a passage inwards. While making love, become meditative. Look in. A door opens at that moment. This is the Tantra experience. A door opens in that moment. And Tantra says, you feel happy only because that door opens. And something of your inner bliss flows to you. It is not coming from the outer woman. It is not coming from the outer man, it is coming from your innermost core. The outer is just an excuse. Tantra does not say that to make love to the outer is sin. It simply says it is not very far going. It does not condemn it. It accepts its naturality. But it says, you can use that love wave to go far inside. In that moment of thrill, things are not on the earth. You can fly. Your arrow can lead the bow towards the target. You can become a sarha. If while making love you become meditative, you become silent. You start looking in, you close your eyes, you forget the outer man or woman, then it happens. The muladhar, your male center inside, it starts moving towards the female center. The female center is Swadhisthan. And there is a quiescence. There is the intercourse inside. Sometimes it happens without your knowing it. Many sannyasins have written me letters. I have never answered before because it was not possible to answer. Now I can answer. You will be able to understand. One sannyasin again and again writes to me, and he must be thinking why I am not answering. The map was not available up to now. Now I am giving you the map. Listening to me, he always feels as if he is going into argas. His whole body starts throbbing, and he has the same experience as he has while making love to a woman. He becomes very puzzled, naturally so. He loses track. What he was listening, he forgets. And the thrill is so much, and the joy is so much. And he is worried, what is happening? What is this inside him? This is happening. The muladhar is meeting with the Swadhisthan. Your male center is meeting with your female center. That is the joy when you move into meditation, when you move into prayer. This is the mechanism of your inner celebration. And the moment Muladhar and Swadhisthan meet, the energy is released. Just as when you love your woman, energy is released. When Swadhisthan and Muladhar meet, energy is released. And that energy hits the higher center, Manipura. Manipura is male. Anahata is female. Once you have become attuned with the first meeting of your man and woman inside, one day the second meeting suddenly happens. You have not to do anything about it. Just the energy released from the first meeting creates the possibility for the second meeting. And when energy is created by the second meeting, it creates the possibility for the third meeting. The third meeting is between Visuddha and Agnya. And when the third meeting happens, the energy is created for the fourth, which is not a meeting, which is not a union, but unity. Sahasrar is alone. There is no male-female. The Adam and Eve have disappeared into each other totally, utterly. Man has become the woman has become the man. All division disappears. This is the absolute, the eternal meeting. This is what Hindus call Satchidananda. This is what Jesus calls kingdom of God. In fact, the number 7 has been used by all the religions. 7 days are symbolic. And the 7th day is the holiday, the holy day. 6 days God worked and 7th day he rested. 6 chakras you will have to work. 7th is the state of great rest, utter rest, absolute relaxation. You have come home. With the seventh, you disappear as part of duality. All polarities disappear. All distinctions disappear. Night is no more night and day is no more day. And summer is no more summer and winter is no more winter. Matter is no more matter and mind is no more mind. You have gone beyond. This is the transcendental space Buddha calls Nirvana. These three meetings inside you and the achievement of the fourth have another dimension too. I have talked to you many times about four states: sleep, dream, waking, Turiya. Turiya means the fourth, the beyond. These seven chakras and the work through them has a correspondence with these four states also. The first meeting between Muladhara and Swadhisthana is like sleep. The meeting happens, but you cannot be very aware of it. You will enjoy it. You will feel a great freshness arising in you. You will feel a great rest, as if you have slept deeply. But you will not be able to see it exactly. It is very dark. The man and woman have met inside you, but they have met in the unconscious. The meeting was not in the daylight, it was in the dark night. Yes, the result will be felt, the consequence will be felt. You will suddenly feel a new energy in you, a new radiance, a new glow. You will have an aura. Even others may start feeling that you have a certain quality of presence, a vibe. But you will not be exactly alert what is happening. So the first meeting is like sleep. The second meeting is like dream. When Manipura and Anahata meet, your meeting with the inner woman is as if you have met in a dream. Yes, you can remember a little bit of it, just like as you can remember in the morning about the dream that you had last night. A little bit here and there, few glimpses. Maybe something has been forgotten. Maybe the whole is not remembered. But still you can remember. The second meeting is like dream. You will become more aware of it. You will start feeling something is happening. You will start feeling that you are changing, that a transformation is on the way, that you are no more the old person. And with the second, you will start becoming aware that your interest in the outer woman is lessening. Your interest in the outer man is not that infatuating as it used to be. With the first also there will be a change, but you will not be aware of it. With the first you may start thinking that you are no more interested in your woman. But you will not be able to understand that you are not interested in any woman at all. You may think you are bored with your woman and you will be more happy with some other woman, some change will be good, a different climate will be good, a different quality of a woman will be good. This will be just a guess. With the second, you will start feeling that you are no more interested in the woman or the man, that your interest is turning inwards. With the third, you will become perfectly aware. It is like waking. Visuddha meeting Ajna. you will become perfect aware. The meeting is happening in the daylight. Or you say it this way, first meeting happens in the dark, middle of the night. Second meeting happens in a twilight time, between the day and the night. Third meeting happens in full noon. You are fully alert. Everything is clear. Now you know you are finished with the outer. It does not mean you will leave your wife or your husband. It simply means the infatuation is no more. You will feel compassion. Certainly, the woman who has helped you so far is a great friend. The man who has brought you so far is a great friend. You are grateful. You will start being grateful and compassionate to each other. It is always so, when understanding arises, it brings compassion. If you leave your wife and escape to the forest, that simply shows you are cruel and compassion has not arisen. It can be only out of non-understanding. It cannot be out of understanding. If you understand, you will have compassion. When Buddha became enlightened, the first thing he said to his disciples was, I would like to go to Yasodhara and talk to her, his wife. Ananda was very much disturbed. He said, what is the point of your going back to the palace and talking to your wife? You have left her. 12 years have passed. And Ananda was a little bit disturbed also, because how a Buddha can think about his wife? Buddhas are not expected to think that way. When others have left, Ananda said to Buddha, this is not good. What people will think? Buddha said, what people will think? I have to say my gratitude to her, and I have to thank her for all the help she gave me, and I have to give something that has happened to me. I owe that much to her. I will have to go. He came back. He went to the palace. He saw his wife. Certainly, Yasodhara was mad. This man had escaped one night without even telling anything to her. She said to Buddha, can't you trust me? You could have said that I want to go, and I would have been the last woman in the world to prevent you. Can't you trust me even that much? And she is crying. 12 years of anger. And this man has escaped like a thief. In the middle of the night, suddenly, without giving a single hint to her, Buddha apologized and he said, it was out of non-understanding. I was ignorant. I was not aware. But now I am aware and I know. That's why I have come back. You have helped me tremendously. Forget those old things. Now there is no point in thinking about the spilled milk. Look at me. Something great has happened. I have come home. And I felt my first duty was towards you, to come and to convey and to share my experience with you. The anger gone, the rage subsided. Yasodhara looked out of tears. Yes, this man has tremendously changed. This is not the same man she used to know. This is not the same man. Not at all. Yes, looks like. but a great luminousness. He can almost see the aura, a light around him, and he is so peaceful and so silent. He has almost disappeared. His presence is almost absent. And then, in spite of her, she forgot what she is doing. She fell in his feet and she asked to be initiated. When you understand, there is bound to be compassion. That's why I don't say to my sannyasins to leave your families. Be there. Rabindranath has written a poem about this incident when Buddha comes. Yasodhara asked him one thing. Just tell me one thing, she says. Whatever you have attained, I can see you have attained. Whatsoever it is, I don't know what it is. Just tell me one thing. Was it not possible to attain it here in this house? And Buddha cannot say no. It was possible to attain it here in this house. Now he knows, because it has nothing to do with the forest or with the town, with family or with ashram. It has nothing to do with any place. It has something to do with your innermost core. It is available everywhere. First, you will start feeling that your interest is loosening in the other. It will be a dim phenomenon, dark, looking from a dark glass, looking out of a very foggy morning. Second, things become a little more clear, like a dream. The fog is not so much. Third, you are fully awake. It has happened. The inner woman has met with the inner man. The bipolarity is no more there. Suddenly you are one. Schizophrenia has disappeared. You are not split. With this integration, you become individuals. Before that, you are not an individual, you are a crowd. You are a mob. You are many people. You are multi-psychic. Suddenly you fall into order. That's what this ancient story says. The man has asked for 3 days. If sometimes you look into these small stories, you will be wonderstruck. Their symbols are great. The man had asked for 3 days to sit silently. Why 3 days? Those are the 3 points in sleep, in dream, in waking. He wanted to put himself in order. First it happens in sleep, then it happens in dream, then it happens in waking. And when you are in order, the whole existence is in order. When you are an individual, when your spirit has disappeared, you are bridged together, then everything is bridged together. It will look very paradoxical, but it has to be said. The individual is the universal. When you have become individual, you suddenly see that you are the universal. Up to now you have been thinking that you are separate from existence, now you cannot think. Adam and Eve have disappeared into each other. This is the goal that everybody is trying to find out in some way or other. Tantra is the surest science to achieve to it. This is the target. Few things more. I told you, Muladhara has to be relaxed. Only then the energy can move upwards, inwards. And inwards and upwards mean the same. Outwards and downwards mean the same. Energy can move inwards or upwards only when the Muladhara is relaxed. So the first thing is to relax the Muladhara. You are holding your sex center very tight. The society has made you very much aware of the sex center. It has made you obsessed with it. So you are holding it tight. You can simply watch. You are always holding your genital organism very tight, as if you are afraid. As if something will go amiss if you relax. Your whole conditioning has been to keep it uptight, relax it. Leave it to itself. Don't be afraid. Fear creates tension. Drop the fear. Sex is beautiful. It is not a sin, it is a virtue. Once you think in terms of its being a virtue, you will be able to relax. I have talked about Muladhara, how to relax it before. And I have talked about Swadhisthan, how to relax it. It is the death center. Don't be afraid of death. These are the two fears which have been dominating humanity. The fear of sex and the fear of death. Both fears are dangerous. They have not allowed you to grow. Drop both the fears. The third chakra is Manipura. It is loaded with negative emotions. That's why your stomach becomes disturbed when you are emotionally disturbed. Manipura is affected immediately. In all the languages of the world we have expressions like it, I cannot stomach it. It is literally true. Sometimes when you cannot stomach a certain thing, you start feeling like nausea. You would like to vomit. In fact, sometimes it happens, a psychological vomit. Somebody has said something and you cannot stomach it. And suddenly you feel a nausea. And a vomit comes. And after the vomit you feel very relaxed. In yoga, they have methods for it. The yogi has to drink enough water, a bucket full of water in the morning with salt. The water has to be lukewarm and then he has to vomit it. It helps to relax the Manipura. It is a great process, a great cleansing process. You will be surprised. Now many modern therapies have become aware of it, that vomit helps. Action analysis is aware of the fact that vomit helps. Primal therapy is aware of the fact that vomit helps. It releases the Manipura. Tantra and yoga have always been aware of it. Negative emotions, anger, hatred, jealousy, and so on and so forth, they all have been repressed. Your Manipura is too much loaded. Those repressed emotions don't allow the energy to go up. Those repressed emotions function like a rock. Your passage is blocked. Encounters, gestalt, and therapies like that all function unknowingly on the Manipura. They try to provoke your anger. They try to provoke your jealousy, your greed. They provoke your aggression, your violence, so it bubbles up, surfaces. The society has done one thing, it has trained you to repress all that is negative and pretend all that is positive. Now both are dangerous. To pretend the positive is false, hypocrisy, and to repress the negative is dangerous. It is poisonous. It is poisoning your system. Tantra says, express the negative and allow the positive. If anger comes, don't repress it. If aggression comes, don't repress it. Tantra does not say go and kill a person. But Tantra says there are 1001 ways to repress, to express the repressed emotions. You can go in the garden and chop wood. Have you watched woodcutters? They look more silent people than anybody else. Have you watched hunters? Hunters are very good people. They do a very dirty thing, but they are good people. Something happens to them while they are hunting. Killing animals, their anger, their aggression is dissolved. The so-called non-violent people are the ugliest in the world. They are not good people because they are holding a volcano. You cannot feel at ease with them. Something is dangerously present there. You can feel it. You can touch it. It is oozing out of them. You can just go into the forest and shout. Scream. Primal therapy is just scream therapy, tantram therapy. An encounter and primal gestalt, they are of tremendous help to relax the Manipura. Once Manipura is relaxed, there arises a balance between the negative and the positive. And when the negative and positive are balanced, passage is open. Then the energy can move higher. Manipura is male. If Manipura is blocked, then energy cannot go upwards. It has to be relaxed. Polarity balancing can be of great help in bringing the balance between positive and negative. That's why I am allowing all sorts of methods from all over the world in this ashram. Anything that can be of help has to be used because man has been damaged so much that all sources of help should be made available. You may not be able even to understand why yoga, tantra, Tao, Sufi, Jain, Buddhist, Hindu, why all the methods I am making available to you? Why gestalt, psychodrama, encounter, primal therapy, polarity balancing, rolfing, structural integration. Why I am making all these things available to you? You have never heard these things to be done in any ashram anywhere, not in the East at all. There is a reason for it. Man has been damaged so much that all sources should be tapped. Help should be taken from every source possible. Only then there is hope, otherwise man is doomed. The fourth chakra is anahata. Doubt is the problem with the fourth chakra. If you are a doubting person, your fourth chakra will remain unopened. Trust opens it. So anything that creates doubt destroys your heart. It is the heart chakra, anahata. Logic chopping, argumentativeness, too much rationality, too much of Aristotle in you, destroys anahata. Philosophy, skepticism, destroys anahata. If you want to open the anahata, you will have to be more trusting. Poetry is more helpful than philosophy. And intuition is more helpful than reasoning. And feeling is more helpful than thinking. So you will have to sift from doubt to trust. Only then your anahata becomes open. Your anahata becomes capable of receiving the male energy from Manipura. Anahata is female. With doubt it closes. With doubt it becomes frigid. With doubt it becomes dry. It cannot receive the male energy. With trust it opens. With trust, moisture is released in that chakra and it can allow the penetration of the male energy. Then fifth, Visuddha. Non-creativity, imitativeness, parroting, monkeying, these are damaging. Just the other day I was reading a small anecdote. A school child was asked, 10 copycats are sitting on a fence. One jumped and went away. How many are left? And the child says, none. And the teacher says, none? Only one has left, and the child says they are copycats. When one jumps, all jump. Visuddha is destroyed by a copy. Don't be an imitator. Don't be just a carbon copy. Don't try to become a Buddha and don't try to become a Christ. Beware of books like Thomas Kempis' book, Imitation of Christ. Beware. No imitation is going to help. Visuddha is destroyed by non-creativity, imitation. And Visuddha is helped by creativity, expression, finding your style of life, being courageous enough to do your own thing. Art, song, music, dance, inventiveness, all are helpful. But be inventive. Whatsoever you do, try to do it in a new way. Try to bring some individuality in it. Bring some authentic signature. Even in cleansing a floor, you can do it in your own way. Even cooking food, you can do it in your own way. You can bring creativity to everything that you do. It should be brought. As much you are creative, good, Visuddha will open. And when Visuddha opens, then only the energy can move into the Ajna, the third eye center, the sixth center. This is the process. First cleanse every center, purify it, beware what damages it, and help it so that it becomes naturally functioning. Blocks are removed, energy rushes. Beyond the sixth is Sahasrar, Turiya, 1,000-petaled lotus. You bloom. Yes, exactly, that's what is. Man is a tree. Muladhar is the roots, and Sahasrara is the blooming of it. The flower has bloomed. Your fragrance is released to the winds. That is the only prayer, that is the only offering into the feet of the Divine. Borrowed flowers won't do. Stolen flowers from the trees won't do. You have to flower and offer your flowers. Now, the sutras. The first sutra. For the delights of kissing, the deluded crave, declaring it to be the ultimately real, like a man who leaves his house and is standing at the door, asks a woman for reports of sensual delights. Kissing is symbolic. Symbolic of any meeting between yin and yang, between male and female, between Shiva and Shakti. Whether you are holding hands with a woman, this is a kissing. Hands kissing each other. Or you are touching her lips by your touch, by your lips, that is kissing. Or your genital organs together, that too is a kiss. So kiss is symbolic in Tantra of all meetings of the opposite polarities. Sometimes you can kiss by just seeing a woman. If your eyes meet and touch each other, there is kiss. The meeting has happened. For the delights of kissing, the deluded crave, declaring it to be the ultimately real, Sarha says, the deluded, the people who are not alert at all what they are doing, go on hankering for missing the other, man, the woman, the man. They are continuously hankering to meet the others, and the meeting never happens. The absurdity of it is this, that you hanker and hanker and desire, and nothing but frustration comes into your hands. Sarha says, this is not the ultimately real meeting. The ultimately real meeting is that which happens in Sahasrar. Once it has happened forever. That is real. The meeting that happens outside is unreal, momentary, temporal. Just a delusion. It is like a man who leaves his house and is standing at the door, asks a woman for reports of sensual delights. A beautiful simile. Sarah says, holding the hand of a woman outside while the woman inside is waiting to be yours and forever yours, is just like a man who leaves his house, stands on the door and asks a woman for reports of sensual delights. First leaves his house. You are leaving your house, your innermost core, in search of a woman outside. And the woman is in. You will miss her. Wherever you go, you can go on running all over the earth and chasing all sorts of women and men. It is a mirage. It is a rainbow search. Nothing comes in hands. And the woman is inside and you are leaving the house. And then, standing at the door, that too is symbolic. You are always standing at the door, on the senses. These are doors. Eyes are doors. Hands are doors. Genital organs are doors. Ears are doors. These are doors. We are always standing on the doors. Looking through the eyes, hearing through the ears, trying to touch with the hands. A man continuously remains at the doors and forgets how to go inside the house. And then, the absurdity of it, you don't know what love is, you ask a woman about the delights, about her experience. And you think, by listening to her experience, you will become blissful. It is taking menu for the food. Sarha is saying that first you go out of yourself, stand on the doors, and then you ask others what delight is, what life is, what joy is, what God is. And God is waiting all the time within you. He resides in you. And you are asking others. And you think as if by listening to them you will come to any understanding. The stirring of biotic forces in the house of nothingness has given artificial rise to pleasures in so many ways. Such yogis from affliction faint, for they have fallen from celestial space, invade into vice. First, sex is not the ultimate in pleasure. It is just the beginning, the alpha, the ABC of it. It is not the omega. Sex is not the ultimately real, it is not the bliss supreme, but just an echo of it. Sahasrara is far away. When your sex center feels a little happiness, it is just a far away echo of Sahasrara. The closer you come to Sahasrara, more happiness. When you move from Muladhara to Swadhisthana, you feel more happy. The first meeting of Muladhara and Swadhisthana is of great joy. Then the second meeting is of even greater joy. Then the third meeting, you cannot believe that more joy can be possible. But more is still possible because you are still away. Not very far, but still away. From Sahasrara. Sahasrara is just incredible. The bliss is so much that you are no more, only bliss is. The bliss is so much that you cannot say that I am blissful. You simply know you are bliss. At the seventh, you just a tremor of joy. Naturally so. Joy happens in Sahasrara, and then it has to pass six layers. Much is lost, it is just an echo. Beware, don't mistake the echo for the real. Yes, even in the echo, something of the real is there. Find out the thread of reality in it, catch hold of the thread, and start moving inwards. The stirring of biotic forces in the house of nothingness has given artificial lives to pleasures in so many ways. And because of this delusion that sex is the ultimate in pleasure, so many artificial things have become very important. Money has become very important. Because you can purchase anything from money. You can purchase sex. Power has become important because through power you can have as much sex as you want. A poor man cannot afford. Kings used to have thousands of wives. Even in this 20th century, Nizam of Hyderabad had 500 wives. Naturally, one who has power can have as much sex as he wants. Because of this delusion that sex is the ultimately real, thousand and other problems have arisen. Money, power, prestige. The stirring of biotic forces in the house of nothingness. It is just imagination. It is just imagination that you are thinking. It is pleasure. It is an auto-hypnosis, an auto-suggestion. And once you auto-suggest yourself, it looks like pleasure. Just think, holding the hand of a woman and you feel so pleasurable. It is just an auto-hypnosis. It is just an idea in the mind. The stirring of biotic forces, because of this idea, your bioenergy is stirred. It is stirred sometimes even by looking at a Playboy picture. There is nobody. Just lines and colors. And your energy can be stirred. Sometimes just an idea in the mind and your energy can be stirred. Energy follows imagination. The stirring of biotic forces in the house of nothingness. You can create dreams. You can project dreams on the screen of nothingness. Has given artificial lives to pleasures in so many ways. If you watch the pathology of man, you will be amazed. People have such ideas that you cannot believe that this is happening. Some man cannot make love to her woman unless he looks at pornography first. The real seems to be less real than the unreal. He becomes excited only through the unreal. Have you not seen it again and again in your own life? that the real seems to be less exciting than the unreal. Just there is sitting Rashma. The other day she asked, she has come from Nairobi. The other day she asked that I hanker for you, Bhagwan, so much in Nairobi. I dream about you. I fantasize about you. And I have come from so far. And now my heart is not fluttering that way. What has happened? Nothing has happened. Just we are more in love with the imaginary than with the real. The unreal has become more real. So in Nairobi, you have your Bhagwan. That is your imagination. I have nothing to do with it. That is your idea. But when you come to me, I am here. And then suddenly your imaginary ideas are no more relevant. You come with a dream in your mind. My reality will destroy the dream. Remember, to change your consciousness from the imaginary to the real. Always listen to the real. Unless you are very, very alert, you will remain in the trap of the imaginary. Imaginary seems to be very satisfying for many reasons. First, it is under your control. You can have Bhagwan's nose as long as you want in your imagination. You can think whatsoever you want to think, nobody can hinder it. Nobody can enter into your imagination. You are utterly free. You can paint me as you want, you can imagine, you can expect. You can make whatsoever you want of me. You are free. The ego feels very good. That's why when a master is dead, he finds more disciples than while he is alive. With a dead master, disciples are completely at ease. With a living master, they are in difficulty. Buddha had never so many disciples as he has now, after 25 centuries. Jesus had only 12 disciples. Now half of the earth, just see the impact of the absent master. Now Jesus is in your hands. You can do whatsoever you want to do with him. He is no more alive. He cannot destroy our dreams and imaginations. If the so-called Christians had seen the real Jesus, their hearts will stop fluttering immediately. Why? Because they will not believe. They have imagined things. And Jesus is a real man. You could have found him in a pub, drinking with friends and gossiping. Now this doesn't look like the only begotten Son of God. It looks very ordinary. Maybe he is just the carpenter Joseph's son. But once Jesus is gone, then he cannot interfere with your imaginations. Then you can picture and paint and create images of him as you like. Far away, it is easier. Imagination has full power. Closer you come to me, your imagination has less and less power. And you will not be ever able to see me unless you drop your imagination. So is the case with all other pleasures. The stirring of biotic forces in the house of nothingness has given artificial rise to pleasures in so many ways. Such yogis from affliction faint, for they have fallen from celestial space, invade into vice. If you imagine too much, you will lose your celestial space. Imagination is sansara. Imagination is your dream. If you dream too much, you will lose the celestial space. You will lose your divinity. You will not be a conscious being. Imagination will overweigh over you. It will overburden you. You will be lost in a fantasy. You can faint in your fantasy, and you can think this is samadhi. There are people who faint, and then they think they are in samadhi. Buddha has called such samadhis wrong samadhis. So Sarha says it is a wrong samadhi. Imagining about God, going on into your imagination, feeding your imagination, nurturing it more and more, fantasizing more and more, you will faint. You will lose all consciousness. You will have beautiful dreams of your own creation. But this is falling from the celestial space. And Sarha says this is the only vice, to fall from your purity of awareness. What he means by the celestial space is space without any dreams. Dreaming is the world. Without dreaming, you are in nirvana. As a Brahmin who with rice and butter makes a burnt offering in blazing fire, creating a vessel for nectar from celestial space, takes this through wistful thinking as the ultimate. In India, the Brahmins have been doing yagnas. They have been offering into the fire, blazing fire, rice and butter, and imagining that this offering is going to God. Sitting around a fire, fasting for many days, doing certain rituals, certain mantras, repeating certain scriptures, you can create a state of auto-hypnosis. You can be befooled by yourself. And you can think that you are reaching into God. Sarha says, those who really want to enter into God, they will have to burn their inner fire. The outer fire won't do. And those who really want to attain, they will have to burn their own seeds of desire. Rice won't do. And those who really want to attain, they will have to burn their ego. Butter won't do. Butter is just the most essential part of milk, most purified part of milk. So is ego. The most purified dream, it is a ghee. Purified butter. Offering ghee into fire is not going to help. You have to burn your inner fire. And sexual energy moving upwards becomes fire. It becomes a flame. It is fire. Even when it moves outwards, it gives birth to life. The most miraculous thing is sex energy. It is through sex energy life is born. Life is fire. It is a function of fire. Without fire, life cannot exist. Without sun, there will be no trees, no men, no birds, no animals. It is transformed fire that becomes life. While making love to a woman, the fire is going out. While moving inwards, the fire is going in. And then you throw your seeds of desire, seeds of thought, seeds of ambition, seeds of greed into this fire, and they are burned. And then you throw finally your ego, the most purified dream. That too is burned. This is really yagna, real ritual, real sacrifice. As a Brahmin who with rice and butter makes a burnt offering in blazing fire, creating a vessel for nectar from celestial space, takes this through wistful thinking as the ultimate, and he thinks through wistful thinking that this is the ultimate. Exactly in the same way, the man who is making love to a woman and thinks this is the ultimate is throwing in the outer fires. He is pouring into something outside. And so is the woman who thinks she is making love are moving into a great space of bliss and benediction. And is just making love to a man, is just throwing her fire out. The fire has to move inwards. Then it gives a rebirth to you. It rejuvenates you. Some people who have kindled the inner heat and raised it to the fontanel, stroke the ovula with the tongue in a sort of caution and confuse. That which fetters with what gives release in pride will call themselves yogis. And a very important thing, just as I explained to you the map, you have to remember the Visuddha. The fifth chakra is in the throat. Visuddha, the throat chakra, is the last point from where you can fall. Up to that point, there is possibility of falling back. With the sixth chakra, third eye attained, there is no possibility of falling back. You have gone beyond the point from where one can return. The point of no return is the third eye. If you die at the third eye center, you will be born at the third eye center. If you die at Sahasrara, you will not be born again. But if you die at the Visuddha, you will slip back to the first Muladhara. Next life, you will have to start from Muladhara again. So up to the fifth, there is no certainty. There is promise, but no certainty. And up to the fifth, there are every possibilities of falling back. And one of the greatest possibility that in India has helped many people to fall back is, this sutra says, some people who have kindled the inner heat and raised it to the fontanel. You can create the inner heat. The flame starts moving upwards. It comes
to the throat, then there arises a great desire to tickle the throat by the tongue. Beware of it. In India, they have devised great techniques how to tickle it by the tongue. They have even cut the roots of the tongue, so the tongue becomes long and can easily move backwards. You will find many yogis doing that. Tongue can move backwards and it can tickle the fifth center. That tickling is masturbatory, because the sex energy has come there. Just as I told you, the fifth chakra, Visuddha, is male. When the male energy comes to the throat, your throat becomes almost a genital organ. Of more superiority, of more fineness than the genital organ. Just a little tickle with the tongue and you enjoy greatly. But that is masturbatory. And once you start doing that, and it is very, very great pleasure. Sex is nothing compared to it. Remember it. Sex is just nothing compared to it. Tickling by your own tongue, you can enjoy so much. So in yoga there are methods. Sarha is making it clear that no tantrika should do that. It is a deception and a great failure, because the energy has come up to the fifth and now the desire arises to tickle it. That is the last desire. If you can keep yourself alert and can move beyond that desire, then you will reach to the sixth center, Ajna. Otherwise, you will start falling back. That is the last temptation. In fact, in Tantra, that is the temptation which you can call Jesus' head. When Satan comes to him and tempts him. Or Buddha head, when Mara comes and tempts him. This is the last temptation, the last effort of your desire mind, the last effort of your dream world, the last effort of the ego, before it is lost utterly. It makes a last effort to tempt you. And the temptation is really great. It is very difficult to avoid it. It is so pleasurable, infinitely pleasurable than sex pleasure. When people think sex pleasure is ultimate, what to say about this pleasure? And it loses no energy. In sex you have to lose energy. You feel frustrated, tired, weak. But if you tickle your sex energy when it has come to the throat, there is no loss of energy. And you can go on tickling the whole day. That's what Delgado has attained through mechanical devices. Some people who have kindled the inner heat and raised it to the fontanel stroke the uvula with the tongue in a sort of quiescence and confuse. That which fetters with that which gives release. This is again sansara, falling into sansara back. And confuse that which fetters with that which gives release. In pride will call themselves yogis, but they are not. They have missed. In fact, the right word for them is yoga bhrashta, one who has fallen from yoga. The fifth center is the most dangerous center. You cannot tickle any other center, that is the danger of it. You cannot tickle Swadhisthana. You cannot tickle Manipura. You cannot tickle Anahata. They are beyond you. There is no way to reach them and tickle them. You cannot tickle third eye. The only point which can be tickled is Visuddha, your throat center. Because it is available, the mouth is open. It is available. And the easiest way is to turn your tongue backwards and tickle it. In yoga treatises you will find it described as something great. It is not. Beware of it. This is the inner map of Tantra alchemy. The energy can start moving any time. Just you have to join with your love making a little meditation, a little inwardness. Tantra is not against love making, remember. Let it be repeated again and again. It is all for it, but not just for it. It is the first ladder of the rung. It is the first rung of the ladder. It is a seven rung ladder. Man is a ladder. The first rung is sex, and the seventh rung is Sahasrara Samadhi. The first rung joins you with samsara, the world, and the seventh rung joins you with nirvana, the beyond. With the first rung, you move in a vicious circle of birth and death. Again and again, it is repetitive. With the seventh rung, you go beyond birth and death. Life eternal is yours, the kingdom of God. Enough for today.